Our scripture lesson is Deuteronomy chapter 5, starting with verse 29, and then going to chapter 6, verse 3. Oh, that they had such a mind as always to fear me and to keep all commandments, that it might go well with them and with their descendants forever. Go and say to them, return to your tents, but you stand here by me, and I will tell you the whole commandment and the statutes and the rules that you shall teach them, that they may do them in the land that I am giving them to possess. You shall be careful, therefore, to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You shall walk in all the way that the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land that you shall possess. Now, this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, that your days may be long. Hear, therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord your God of your fathers has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey.
You may be seated. May God add his blessing to that fine reading of the sacred text. Tonight's scripture lesson three times focuses on our universal desire for happiness or blessedness. That's why we chose the Beatitudes is the New Testament reading. Blessed are, that's happy, makarios, the idea God wants us to be happy. And in Deuteronomy 5:29 and 33 and 6:3, those blessings of happiness are mentioned. He truly does want us to be happier than we could ever imagine ourselves being, even in this world. Now let's go to him in prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you that it's an attractive thing to consider that your desires for us are much more wonderful than our own for ourselves or even the people we love so dearly. And this is an amazing thing. Of course, Lord, true happiness comes through the cross of Jesus and his resurrection, meaning we must be united with him in his sufferings as well as in his glorious triumphs. And we thank you for that. That Lord Jesus, who now speaks to us, grant us grace in his name. Amen. That God wants us to be happy is the universal testimony of all the scripture. That fact alone receives for us good and for him glory. God gave us his word, his law, and his gospel to direct us toward the Son of God who makes us happy. The Lord God often enjoins the goal or end of happiness upon us, describing it in terms such as that it may be well with us or that we might enjoy long life or prosperity. And these kinds of words are found often even in Deuteronomy 5 and now chapter 6, which we enter today. Now, all of these things not only apply to the next life. Someone might say, well, yeah, sure, Pastor, that just has to do with heaven. You know, we're down here, we just have to kind of grind it out, grueling, you know, veil of tears sort of thing. Well, no, in fact, that's not the case at all. In fact, these verses more apply to this life than the life to come. And the scripture makes it clear that we honor God with that perspective. Now, there is one big, gigantic hitch or catch to this happiness reception equation, though, and that's what always gets in the way, and that's the person of Jesus. Happiness must be attained in and through him alone and not according to anyone or thing else. No Christ, no happiness. No Jesus, no life. This is why this happiness must occur through him and be received by faith. Let's make it our goal this evening to live the Christian life by gospel grace. Consider Deuteronomy 5:29 through 6:3, the road to happiness. Incidentally, a Puritan wrote a great book titled The Road to Happiness. I'd highly recommend it to you. It's Robert Harris, The Road to Happiness, an absolutely outstanding book, very encouraging. Now consider verses 29 through 31 of chapter 5. The road to happiness begins with gospel faith. We must remember that these people being addressed by Moses and God and to us as well tonight in Deuteronomy, were the redeemed of the Lord. Deuteronomy 5:6, they were redeemed. They were saved before they even received the law. And they were already recipients of gospel grace in seed form. Now it would be incumbent upon them, having received more light as to who God is, what he expects, what his character looks like through the Ten Commandments, which we saw after Deuteronomy 5:6, and between that text and this 29th verse, and walk in his ways by grace. So the road to happiness begins with gospel faith, verse 29, which enters our souls from above. Oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and always keep my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. It's informative here that the Lord begins or starts with the heart, that they might have a heart. I noticed the NIV said mine. That word in Hebrew is about the same meaning, the heart or the mind. Without a change of heart, or if you will, a change of mind, there can be no reception of gospel grace and hence no happiness at all. And remember that the law is all about directing us to the person of joy and fulfillment, Jesus. Galatians 3 teaches us that in other places. The new covenant promises in the Old Testament speak of the new heart, Ezekiel 36:26. And Jesus would say this to Nicodemus in John 3:3. Most assuredly I say to you, unless you are born again or have a new heart, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Notice a threefold process in gospel living from verse 39, flowing from a new heart. So assuming they have the new heart, these things apply, one, and us as well. There's love for God manifest in faith. Oh, that they would fear me. This fear aspect, we're going to see again later, has to do with faith. Based in love, not slavish fear. Secondly, love for God manifest in action, deeds, that they would keep all my commandments. So it's not a love in a vacuum, it's love in action, that we would do the things God commanded. And then love for God manifest in blessing, that it may be well with them and their children forever. It's like God's heart is yearning that his people would do well, that it would be great for them, that they prosper. In every way, the road to happiness begins with gospel faith, which enters our souls from above, and now verses 30 and 31, which is mediated by our Savior. Children, mediated means a go-between between us and God. And we read, go and say to them, return to your tents, but as for you, that's Moses, stand here by me, and I will speak to you all the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which you shall teach them, that they may observe them in the land which I'm giving them to possess. There's that blessed mediation. We saw this last week. It was the title of the sermon, the mediation of Christ. And Moses is a type of Christ. He is standing by God, a beautiful picture. And now in the New Testament, the priesthood of all believers, there's a sense in which we all stand by God in Jesus. We hear him and we are with him in this glorious, wonderful way. Moses, the mediator, portraying Jesus, the perfect Savior, who transfers blessing from God the Father to us, his holy church. So the road to happiness begins with gospel faith, verses 32 and 33. The road to happiness continues through gospel faith. Whereas we often start off our Christian lives well, sometimes we falter along the way. This is what happened to the true, genuine believers in the church in Galatia, to whom Paul addressed these words in chapter 3, verse 3 of Galatians. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Our old nature is constantly dragging us down, causing us to want to live life on the plane of ordinary human beings and sort of works religion, sort of the religion of the world, the grading on a curve. Is God happy with me today? How am I doing this day? Rather than trusting in Jesus alone as our Redeemer and the full propitiation for our sins. A vibrant, gracious faith leading to loving obedience out of gratitude by the power of the Spirit as the church living in the gospel and the word of grace. Let's consider the road to happiness continues through gospel faith. Verse 32, as we keep looking to Jesus. Therefore, you shall be careful to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Now, this picture of not turning aside to the right hand or to the left reminds us of the straight and narrow path, that the way to heaven is very narrow, if you will. I'm reminded as well of Hebrews 12:2, which says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So if we're to make it to heaven, and we will by grace through faith in Jesus, it's because we're focused on him, not ourselves, not our works, not what other people expect, not pleasing others, not social standing, but rather Jesus alone. He is the one to whom we keep the focus and the gaze all the time. Keep in mind that the Word of God was always designed to go and point beyond itself to the person of Christ, the true Logos, the Word of God in the flesh. The target or goal of our lives as believers is all about Jesus. A religion devoid of an obsession with Christ is nothing less than works righteousness, and it is repulsive in the eyes of God, and he hates it. Isaiah 64:6. The road to happiness continues through gospel faith as we keep looking to Jesus, verse 33, as we keep rejoicing in Jesus, where we read these words, you shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess, here and now, blessing. Notice how positive this verse is. Christianity is not a morbid, self-torturous, ascetic religion. Instead, it is a faith that is reasonable, grace-laden, true and honorable. Now, does this mean that all faithful believers are going to be blessed in all these positive ways? They're going to have plenty of things, lots of money, perfect health, all that kind of stuff, sort of the health, wealth, false gospel approach? No, certainly not. But even when we are not blessed in those particular ways, we are still blessed nonetheless. And in fact, in many cases, even in more wonderful provisions than might have been the case otherwise. Joyful Christians are more effective in this world than dour, sour, forlorn, miserable people that drag themselves around the world as if they are the pitied ones, as if somehow their father isn't good enough to take care of them. Now, this isn't to say that the Christian life doesn't sometimes have seasons where we are really sad, and we, you know, it's natural to express that and show that. But for people to be like that all the time, it's a disgrace saying to the world, oh, your God isn't any good. He can't take care of you, so why should I have any interest in him either? Let us be joyful Christians. This is a very upbeat verse that chapter 5 ends on, and it's an encouragement to us. As we have that Spirit, we're a source of blessing and strength, not only for others, but ourselves. And notice how in verse 33, if you're wanting to note this, there's sort of a threefold development. A joyful walk with God leads to a powerful life, which results in a continual feast of blessing. The heart is always fed. And incidentally, on a little bit of a side note, as long as we have Jesus and a Sabbath day as the church, we never really get totally burned out. Should never happen. Now, for Christians that never take the Sabbath day, don't honor the Lord that way, of course they'll get burned out, naturally, just like any pagan would. But for us, we don't need to get burned out. This is the day of the Lord. This is the day of worship and rest. And if we honor that and don't break that fourth commandment, then we enjoy the benefits. In fact, for that matter, even unbelievers that actually do a Sabbath day also get a sort of temporal benefit from that as well. So the road to happiness begins and continues through gospel faith, and as you, I'm sure, have anticipated, verses 1 to 3 of chapter 6, it also ends with gospel faith. Now, I would argue that verses 1 through 3 of chapter 6 really belong to the end of chapter 5. Not that it's a big deal. And keep in mind that chapter divisions in the Bible are not inspired. All right, children, you understand that. The inspired part is the actual text of the Scripture, the numbers in there and the verses and stuff. That's just helpful stuff that was put in many, many years later. I don't really know the history of it. Kind of interesting. But sometimes they don't get the divisions exactly right, but it's usually not a big deal. Now, chapter 5 had a lot of talk about wellness, long life, and blessing, and that continues in chapter 6. Picture here, however, begins to shift a little bit more to life in the promised land, a kind of, what do we do now that we will arrive in Canaan motif. The point is that the same gospel that opened heaven's gates for us way back at the beginning of our Christian lives also remains the same strength and power that sees us to the terminus of our walk here as well. The road to happiness ends with gospel faith, verses 1 and 2, as we enjoy God's covenant blessings. Now, these two verses, 1 and 2, repeat a continuing covenantal refrain. Whoops, I didn't read them, did I? Let's do that. Now, this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess. Well, like I was saying, that how to live in Canaan motif. That you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. God's earnest, zealous desire that they live a long time and have full, rich lives, that they pass the covenant baton of the church life from themselves to their son, to their grandson, and many other texts down further and further. And many of us are the beneficiaries of that, incidentally. Sometimes there'll be a generation that gets skipped or lost, and then we come back, and none of us are here without some precedent. And it's a beautiful thing. Now, this, as I was saying, this is a covenantal theme, the idea of passing it along. And consider verse 1 and 2 and apply these things with me to our lives. First, in verse 1, we see the great commandment sort of intimated. What was the great commandment? Love for God, love for neighbor. We see that here. And that's flowing out of the Ten Commandments, or what we call the Decalogue, which tells us how we love God. Here's the first four commandments. Here's how you love God. Here's how you love your neighbor. You don't steal, et cetera, et cetera, the last six commandments. Now, secondly, verse 2a refers to the fear of God. Now, fear is a faith fuel that motivates obedience. This is kind of a fatherly fear. This is a healthy fear, if you will, that exists between a loving child and a good parent, a father in particular. It's not a cowering, slavish sort of thing. Not a Muslim fear like they have of their deity, but it's a wonderful love relationship. Thirdly, verse 2b refers to covenant lineage, passing the faith from generation to generation, son, grandson. So what you're doing here tonight isn't just for you. In fact, could be argued isn't primarily. And this applies whether we have children or not, because we're all one family in the church. We pass it down. And we could, even from heaven, behold the work taking place. I'm reminded of John, Sarah, the minister here from the 20s, Harold Vogel, and the connection of covenant. And then verse 2c finally speaks of blessed consequences of faithfulness, a long life. Now, these covenant benefits are all fulfilled in Jesus. He alone did all of these things for us. So you might be saying, wow, wait a minute, man, I can't do that. That's too much. Of course it's too much. But it wasn't too much for him. He accomplished it. We are the beneficiaries of his obedience imputed to our souls, causing us to enjoy the benefits mentioned in these verses. We appropriate those blessings by faith. Road to happiness ends with gospel faith. We enjoy God's covenant blessings, verse 3, as we enjoy God's perennial blessings, P-E-R-E-N-N-I-A-L. Children, that means lasting. You know that some of your parents use perennial plants. It means that you don't have to replant them every year. They come back. It's perennial. It lasts. Verse 3. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. God again saying, please, I mean, not really, please, but like, oh, if they would just have a heart to love me. Oh, look at the benefits they'll enjoy. It ends with the same words of, or at least thoughts that the text began in 5:29, being well with us. The pleasure of God's sweetness requires faithful obedience, doesn't it? I mean, this isn't for rebels, this isn't for Sabbath breakers, not for people that don't take their Christian lives seriously. It's not for those living in known sin. It's for those who are walking in, not perfection, but faith and repentance. How is this accomplished? By resting in the finished work of Jesus, where a great exchange occurred on the cross. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Then and only then are we able to do what verse 3 says, hear and observe the word of God. Christian life is a walk of faith. Never forget that blessed text, Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Road to happiness. There's only one road to happiness. And that's why Jesus would say in John 14:6 that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father, Jesus said, except through me. That means that even law-keeping, rule-keeping, and ordinary religion of the world is not the road to happiness. Road to happiness begins, continues, and ends with gospel faith in Jesus received by just that, faith. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the fact that you're not a mean, grueling, tyrant type of God like the world worships and their demons. You're a wonderful Father. And you have given to your church a great vista. Yes, the Christian life is impossible. That is true. But it's also possible because it can be appropriated through Jesus alone. And with our eyes fixed on him, we're successful. As soon as we take our eyes off of him, it's like Peter in the water, we fall down. We thank you for the ease of understanding that it's just all about Christ. If we're to be happy, we will be in him. We will experience what he experienced, and we will enjoy the benefits that he enjoys. And we thank you for that, that he is the road, the way, the truth, and the life. And we give you praise in his holy name. Amen.